G'day, how are you going? You doing well? You can talk back, it's all good. Alrighty, I'm Pastor Sid from Taree. A few hours up from here. I've never been to this building before. It's the first time. Do you want me to put this on? Okay. Bear with me for a second. Can see this, we good? Alrighty. Brother Charlie, your pastor, sends his greeting. He's actually at Living Hope this morning preaching for me. We're doing a swap. I've come down. He's enjoying a bit of holiday up in Foster. So we've got him up there and I've come down. I've got to say, you've got the you haven't got the better deal, amen. I think we've got a better deal up there. So, amen. I'm not being humble. I'm just being realistic, amen. All right. Well, let's get into the Word of God, and the Word of God is the real deal, and we'll see what God has for us this morning. As we look around the world in our day, we notice that there is a how to put this nicely, there's a lot of sick people, all right, and there's a lot of sick churches, in a sense of we talk to people and often they'll say, oh, you know, this church is not doing too well and this church is not doing too well, and just the same where we are as well, people aren't doing too well and churches aren't doing too well. Why I'm saying this is because the church is made from people. If we're not doing too well, then the church is not going to do too well. It always comes back to us, to me. It's easy enough to look at everybody else and say, oh, you know, the doom on us and the world. Christ has called us to shine the light of Christ, to shine the light. Our job is to follow Christ, follow His word, and shine the light. Our job is not to be super. What's the word, you know, concentrating on the things around us, on what's going on in the world, and you know, let the world be worldly, and let us be godly, all right, it's pretty simple. I'm a simple kind of guy, all right, we focus on Christ. So today the title of the message is titled, Are You a Spiritual, Do you have spiritual anorexia? It's a bit of a hard word, anorexia. Do you have spiritual anorexia? All right, that's the title of the word, and you'll figure out where I got it from as we look at the Bible reading. If you turn to the scriptures, to Psalm 106. If you're able to stand, you can stand with me. We'll read verses 11 to 15, and then I'll pray. I do warn you that I'll try to keep on moving quickly, so if you want to write verses down, please write the references down. I will not be waiting for you. Okay, so let's read from Psalm 106, verse 11 to 15. And the waters covered the enemies, there was no one of them left. That's referring to the Egyptians getting washed away, right? When God brought his people out of Egypt. Verse 12, then believed they his word, and they sang his praise. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13. Soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. All right, look in verse 15. And he gave them their requests. That sounds pretty good. But sent leanness to their soul. Sent leanness to their soul. Sent leanness to their soul. They became spiritually anorexic. Spiritually, they were weak, they were feeble, they were had no power with God. Oh, man. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, your word is quick and powerful, able to do much in our life if we abide in it, Lord. And Father, we do pray as we look in your word today, we seek you to feed your people, work in us, Lord, and we seek that we would meet with God. We're thankful for the truths in your word that when we gather as your church, you're in our midst, and you walk to and fro. And Lord, we pray that Christ will be heard, Christ will be seen, and Christ will do his work. Look, we do commit throughout this great land where the word of God is preached in truth, in sincerity, Lord, and in spirit, we pray that you would bless, Lord, and we see a much increase. To Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This psalm, really, David here gives a good picture from the start of Psalm 106 to the end. He covers quite a good space of time from the Jews going out of the promised land and even living in the promised land. And there's quite a few generations have passed. As you would know, this passage he's covering here in the psalm refers to them actually not getting in the promised land. They didn't get in. Right, they saw his work, they rejoiced for a while in God, what God was doing. God, as some of you guys would, most of you would know, the God, you know, opened the sea and washed away the enemy and rescued them and then promised, gave them the promise of the land of milk and honey. It's a good picture of what God on this side of the sun promises for his people. As you would know, the key word there is the word obedient, right? They would not obey, right? As we look now, spoke to this, to the focus on kids particularly, obedient is key, all right? And that's part of the key there to get is obeying God's word. As adults, it doesn't change. We have a heavenly father. You know, I don't have to follow my earthly father, but I've got a heavenly father. I show respect to my earthly father, but he's up there and he still demands the same obedience. If I can't, I say to the kids, if you can't obey your earthly father, don't think you're obeying your heavenly father. Because my rules are quite a lot easier in some ways. I might be harsh or mean or whatnot. Probably got grounds on that. But my rules are not as, you know, you don't need to be 100% holy, perfect to be okay with me. But to be okay with God, you have to be 100% perfect. You know, cut to the chase, it's about surrender. Surrendering to God, say, hey, I can't do it, but you can. All right, the land of milk and honey comes to a place of surrendering, and that's where the struggle begins, when we need to surrender. Obviously, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved, but it starts at the same word, surrender. You need to surrender your life to Christ. Understand that he paid for it all. All you need to do is accept his full payment on your behalf. And it takes a little bit of you know, knocking your pride down a bit. Saying, hey, yeah, I am a sinner. I do need someone to save me. Brother Charlie was sharing with me how he was swimming and he got caught in a rip. And he was telling me, you can talk to him about it. The reason why he didn't put his hand up was this thing called pride. I'll share his secrets with you now. You can talk to him about it. Pride. He didn't want, told his friend to put their hand up and they were drifting away. And then he got hit by this massive wave and pushed him back. But pride is the key what people, the main thing that people is going to send people to hell. Because they don't want to admit the reality where they're living. I'm all right. Really? You're really all right? It's the same problem with Christian as well. Now we get underneath a word, and when we get convicted by the word of God, and pride comes in, we're not that bad, really. You are that bad. You're actually worse. If only God would open your eyes. One preacher was on the stage, and there was about probably 900 folks there, or so, 600 maybe. Can't remember how many, but he was explaining how he saw his inner man, and the lady there who was in front of him, she went, and he turned and said to her, "If only you could see what you're really like before God, you wouldn't be like, you know." If God reveals what we are, it's a bit of a shock treatment. Praise God, he only does it a little bit at a time. Only a little bit of time, he reveals a bit, we work upon that. More Christ-like, more surrender. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, please. What went wrong? What went wrong? They should have been rejoicing. We see in the verse there that they believed his words after they saw the great deliverance, and they got to the other side, and they sang songs of praise. But it didn't stay long. They soon turned back. So that's the main thing here. We see that they turned. They didn't stay in the praising of God. All right, it's part of understanding. Do I have this problem of a leanness of soul? Am I still rejoicing as a believer? If you've called on Christ, you know when you get a brand new car, it's pretty exciting. Amen. You get a brand or a house or whatever, something new. I love presents. Who likes presents? About the next day, you still excited? Yeah. Next week? Next month? Next year? No, we get saved. We're like, glory, God saved me. I was heading to hell. He put my feet up on the rock with Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a home in heaven. We're singing praises to God. But just like them, soon they just forgot. No, what were they whinging about? They wanted, this manna. Oh, we want garlics and leeks. Oh, back in Egypt we had, you know, and God gave them what? God gave them quail. But he gave them something else as well. So what was the issue? They weren't focusing as believers. Not focusing, it's very simple, not focusing on spiritual things. They were focusing on physical things. And physical things aren't evil things. They're not evil things. They're just physical. They're just the natural man. And the natural man, you guys got to get up. You got to have God willing, I hope you have a shower and brush your teeth. They're just physical things. But these physical things consume them. Do physical things consume you? What is your day? What's it all about? What's the most important part of your day? Oh, you know, I've got to have breakfast, the most important meal of the day. You know, I've got to have, I'll give you a list of things you need to have for breakfast. Let me tell you all the stuff you need to have. You need to have vitamin B, and what consumes you? So when it comes down to why they got the leanness of soul, because they were consumed about just the day-to-day activity of life. Okay, and let's look in, I've got to keep on moving quick. All right, let's look in Ephesians 2, verse 6. And he rose up, gathered, he that raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In verse 7, in Ephesians chapter 2, that in the age to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. So us through Christ Jesus. And it's a verse we all know very well. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. We love gifts. But the gift is there for us to rejoice in. And if you look at the verse before, it tells us that it's a wonderful thing that God has done. That in the age to come, they might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us. So God has done this wonderful thing, and that's so we can rejoice in this. And the verse 6, which we already read, that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Something we should be thinking about and rejoicing in, that, hey, we're in Christ in heaven. And that we get our mind around this, that the earth is the Lord's footstool. And think about your life on the footstool, that it's not even a dust. Think about your house on the earth. How small is it? If God's throne, his seat, and the heaven, and God said he's made you what in heaven? Mansions. Are we focusing on eternal things or just things that vanishing away? What are the symptoms, warning signs, and side effects of anorexia, or being anorexic? What are the symptoms? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Well, first of all, when if you're anorexic, you have no desire for food. All right? Spiritual anorexia, a Christian has no desire for food, or we should really say they suppress the desire for food. A Christian that is lean in soul has little or no desire for the Word of God, has little or no desire for preaching, has little or no desire for praying, but you put on the football, they're there for 5 hours. Put a series on, they're watching the whole series in one hit. They just bring it on. But when it comes to prayer, and have you prayed? Yeah, I've prayed, and it's a bit like this, rub-a-dub-dub, thank for the grub. Just something they said last week, there's no meaning in it. And it's there's no desire. But the reality, the spirit in them yearn. Is that God's working in them, but they ignore it. It's the same thing with those that suffer with anorexia. The body is craving for food, but they ignore it. I wonder if I could put spiritual eyes on from the Lord, what would I see? What would I see? Talking about spiritual bodies. Ouch. I wonder what I would see of myself. What would we see? All right, and that's a key, that are we feeding on the Word of God? What else do people that suffer with this illness or disorder suffer with? Well, they suffer with this thing where they have a body image problem. All right, and they see themselves as being fat. In reality, they're really skinny. And they get to a point where they're withering away, and they still look in the mirror and think that I need to lose only 10 more kilos and I'll be all right. And they're withering away. Right, they don't see themselves what they're really like. Do you see yourself? What are you real to yourself when it comes to the Word of God? When you come to the Word of God, or do you see it's not me, I'm not the problem? They don't see themselves. They've got a delusional state about reality of what they're really like. Does that make sense? Being a delusion state where what they see is not real. What they see is this person who is fat, and reality they're physically dying. And people with that delusion always can't see the problem before them, and they'll speak to people and people will tell them and they won't listen. I had 3 people tell me the same, 3 different couple of pastors, said the same thing to me about a particular thing that I do all the time. That was quite interesting. I don't see it. I'll give you a hint. I like chasing rabbits in my preaching. Amen. I'm like, oh man, you do that a lot. I said, yeah, all right. I like doing it. All right. Trying to keep myself constrained. Once they told me, one preacher said, you need to get discipline. Like, that's right. I need that discipline. Let me write it down so I can forget it. No. So, but other people will tell you things which you might not see it in yourself. But how do you respond to that? A distorted view of self. Spiritual anorexia have a distorted view of self. They don't get in the Word of God enough to get God's view of self. And that's quite interesting. It's called a disorder. You know what's called a disorder? Because they're not following the order of God. If they followed the order of God, what God said, they would have a proper view of self. People with anorexia work hard, extremely hard, but they don't see the result. They spend time, every 2 hours or more at the gym, and they're obsessing over these things, but they feel and they look, they don't feel any result. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way? Do you feel that, I go to church, I pray, I do all the right things, I just want to give up. I just want to kill myself. I just want to end it all. It's just too hard. They don't see the problem is within. They see the problem is without. I am truly doing my best, they feel. Christians that suffer that way, they have this idea that they're really doing their best. And let me just tell you this. They are. They are doing their best. They are doing their best. The problem is they're not doing what God says. God never told you to do your best. God told you, here's the manual, here's the instruction, follow it. God's my word, you shall live by your best. No, you shall live by my word. My word is light. It is food for your soul. Get in the book. Get out of the Facebook. Amen? I stole that from somewhere, I can't remember where. That's the problem. When you get up in the morning, what do you do first of all? I better check one of my friends. Get into Facebook. I really need one of those. That's going to make me happy. No, forget that. Get in the book. Spiritual anorexia. What other things do they do? Or do they struggle with? The brother Charlie gave me this one. He said, the little they do eat, they bring it up. That's pretty good. What they do get from church, whether the little they get when they get to church, or the little they get from their Bible reading, and they don't stay with it. They bring it up. I put it in a different way. I said, well, that's why they have bad teeth, bad hair, bad skin. And it really, it wrecks their whole body. And the reality is that what they're trying to achieve is what they're doing is it's not producing what they really want. They really want to look like the ideal in their mind. And they don't realize that it's actually not real, a reality anyway. These models are all fake, airbrushed. Right, and they've got a world mentality, a physical world mentality, and it's not based on reality of the Word of God. It's not reality. And the little they do get from the Word of God is they reject it because it doesn't fit their norm. And I just get this. The norm. Be careful of your norm. Be careful of where you came from. I grew up in a Catholic church. I went to a Church of Christ for a while, and I kept on moving and looking for what the Bible says. I never stuck to the norm. I'm still not trying to stick to the norm. So what are you going on about? Be careful of that, because you get used to a certain way where you do things, and the preacher comes up and he gives you the Word of God, and it's not what you want. It doesn't fit the way you do things. Rubbed you the wrong way. You think, that's not how we do it. Well, maybe it's Bible, maybe it's not you. Stick to the Bible. You know, and be careful of that. Now, I have folks and you come to church, and with one just last week, oh, Pastor, we're not coming back. You preached too long. I said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'll not preach too long today, I promise. You know, what's the problem? Well, that's his norm. He's used to a sermonette for Christianette who smoke the cigarettes. Amen. He's used to about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Oh, that's 25 minutes, 45 minutes. Whoa, man, you guys are crazy. What is wrong with you? Can't you cut it in half, two sessions maybe? I'm serious. That's what they said. That's crazy stuff. I'm going to keep on moving quickly. All right. This is my favorite part of these guys that are obsessed with food. They'll cook and they'll give you all the details of what you should be eating and what they're not eating it. And then they'll cook a wonderful meal for you. And they'll refuse to eat it because they're anorexic. They don't want to eat. But then they'll give you this, oh, no, I don't eat all that. We'll make you a nice cake. No, I don't eat that. It's really good for you. Christians that are that way, they know a lot about the Word of God. You can talk to them about spiritual things, but yet you don't see the reality in their life. There's no reality in their life, but they can talk the talk. They can't walk the walk. Spiritual anorexia has no power. And the last thing about it is, it ends with death. The Bible says that children obey your parents. We've already mentioned that God says that we are God's children. We should obey God. And God, it's part of the Ten Commandments, by the way. Look it up. And we should obey God's word and God's promise. If we obey his word, we will have a long life. Spiritual anorexia will cut your life short, spiritually and physically. The Bible teaches us how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Read the book. Tells you to take care of your body. Exercise half an hour a day. It tells you these things. You read the book and you say, God will say, hey, my body's a temple. Take care of it. Your temple, you take care of what God's given you. And you don't, spiritual restraint will cost you a shortened life. We've looked at the problem. Let's quickly look at the excuse. I don't need a mansion in heaven, a friend of mine said at church. I'm happy, brother. I'm happy, I'm saved. I don't need a mansion in heaven. No, I'm just happy I'm saved. And, that sounds pretty good. Is it? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We looked at the problem. Now let's have a look at the excuses people make. Romans chapter 8 says, Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Carnal mind, the word carnal simply means flesh, physical. Right, the physical mind. And I want you to notice it says it's opposite, it's enemy towards the things of God. And you cannot please God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. A good example of that, well, a friend of mine, what he meant that he was happy to be saved, happy to be a Christian, but he just wants to enjoy his life for himself. He wanted to enjoy his life for himself. And it reminds me of a guy that we met up when we moved up, and my lovely wife, wanted a cow. So we went and got a cow. She just wanted a cow. She wanted a Pacific kind of cow with a A2 milk and so forth. We'll get into all that. But, God love her. And we got the cow she wanted and all the rest and a house cow. And met this guy, and trying to talk to him about God, and found out he was a Christian. Found out he'd just gone through cancer. Found out that his car just beautiful car, the transmission just blew up, cost him $3,500. Found out that he's not living in his beautiful house with his beautiful wife and his beautiful kids running around and beautiful place. He's not living there. I had to wait for him to come. going through a bit of a marital difficulties. Found out that he got saved from Condell Park as a young boy, Condell Park Bible Church. He got saved down there, but that's as far as he went. That was it. He got saved. And everything else was his own doing. So why are you telling me this? Well, this is where it ends up. When we neglect the word of God, and the short life I'm talking about, it's not because God, it's not just that God will punish you in a sense, but I think we bring it on ourselves when we ignore what the Bible says. All right, and this man, that's where he ended up. And by the way, the guy who told me that oh, you know, I don't need to mention, he's not going to an independent Bible Baptist church anymore. Okay? He's not there anymore. He's somewhere else. Let me give you a example in the scriptures. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, we see there that Peter rebukes Christ. Christ is telling him about the cross. He's telling him about spiritual matters. And Peter rebukes him. All right? And then we see that the Lord, in verse 23, in Matthew chapter 16, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Stop there for a second. Right, I want you to notice the language the Lord uses. This is a disciple who's been following him, who's given his life for Christ's sake and been seeking the Lord. It's not a disciple who's walking away from the Lord. And Christ is talking to him about spiritual things. And Peter's doing is trying to figure out a better way. You don't need to die, Lord. We can do this a better way. He's just trying to give a better way. And I want you to notice the reaction from the Lord. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Do you think that's a pretty harsh reaction from God? When we want to give our 2 cents worth, we want to give our opinion of what we should be doing, Lord, and how we ought to be doing this. God says, no, thou art an offense unto me, for thou servest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. So we've got to get back to the Word of God and focus on spiritual things. So we tend to think, oh yeah, we want our 2 cents worth in this deal. First Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there with me, please. The word carnal, like I've mentioned, just means physical, but it does lead away. Here we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, we see here that, I'll read it, let's read it. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babe in Christ. As babe in Christ. See, looking at excuses people made, one was that he just wants, doesn't need mentions in heaven. Here we see this particular man, the preacher here is telling him that he couldn't speak unto them as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, because you're still an infant in Christ. Why is that? Well, look in verse 2. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it. Neither are ye able to. Neither are ye now able. So you're not able to bear the word of God yet, the meat. I'm still giving you milk. Now, sometimes when you come to the word of God, and this is probably an excuse which actually is valid, a valid excuse, we don't understand. We come to the preaching of the Word of God, and we don't fully understand what's going on because we are not able to bear it. I was saying this to my church. That's my excuse. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's because you're not able to bear it. Amen? It's a good excuse. But the reality is, on the reality side, sometimes some things are hard to be understand. Unless we get in the Word and we are understanding and living the practicals, you know, as we're growing, something just takes time to grow. All right, and that's just the reality of it. And it's not always, oh, you know, I didn't get anything out of that message. Well, maybe you should have studied more. You should have read more. I'm just giving Brother Chase some excuses here. Okay, you can pay me later. All right? That's reality. Sometimes we don't understand this because it's our fault. We need to grow to get these, so we can take the meat of a word. Let's quickly look at the next point, the instruction or the solution. I don't know about you guys. I hate instruction. I know my wife, when my girls were younger, she used to always buy these dollhouses, and I always forget to put the dollhouse together just like the day before Christmas. She'll remind me, did you put the dollhouse together? And be like, 11 o'clock at night, I'm trying to put this dollhouse together. And it's always a pain in the neck, right? You know, even the little windows, you've got to put the windows together. I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people, you know? And then I start getting angry at my wife because she bought the dollhouse. And I start getting frustrated because I didn't do first, there was steps, you know, there's 11 steps, and then step one has four parts, and I missed fourth part, and now I've got this thing to put the other thing, and I've got to pull it all apart because I didn't put the right thing at the first place, and just not following direction, all right? First of all, I've got to stuff it all up, and then I get the instruction out, amen? Once I've messed it all up. You know, and this is how Christians live their life. You know, the anorexic Christianity live their life that way. They're frustrated and it's not working out, and they're not looking for what the cause is within. If they were only looking at the instruction manual, they would see that there's a way of doing things God's way, and it always works 100% of the time. It never fails. Right, it never fails, but we don't do that, and we get frustrated, and we look at the preacher who's trying to tell us how to do it. We're like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If he walked in my shoes for a little while, he would know where I'm coming from. Obedience is key. That's the instruction part. We struggle with that part. We like all the other part of Christianity except for that part. The dollhouse, I had to do exactly step by step what the instructions said for it to work. Frustration kicks in. Turn to Hebrew chapter 4. Verse 12, please. When frustration kicks in, we start blaming everybody else. First thing that I do is I start blaming the manufacturer, the guy who made this interesting toy. You know, and who's the creator? Isn't it God? Isn't God made all things? Second, I start blaming my wife who bought the present, thinking, oh, you know, it's truly somebody else's problem. I don't look at myself thinking, hey, you know, I've had 2 months to put this thing together, and I left it to the last day, and now I'm tired and grumpy. I don't think about that. I think about everybody else's problem. I don't think about the preacher, which we'll talk about in a minute, which God's given us to shine the light and tell us how to do things right. We have issues with him. Right, but because that's how we work. His job is to show us what the Bible says. Take it or leave it. But face the consequences. All right, it's pretty simple. Not very hard. You don't need to like me, but you need to like the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, For the word of God is quick, it's powerful. We know this verse very well. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow. Is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. What a wonderful verse. What a powerful verse. We've heard it quoted many of time. But what's the purpose of a verse? It's a wonderful question. I'm glad you asked another question again. Look in the verse prior, verse 11. It tells you what the purpose is. Lest us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It's telling us the word of God is what we ought to be laboring in so that we can enter into that rest. Lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Who's he talking about? Who's the example of unbelief? Not entering into the rest. Those folks that were on the other side of a lake that God gave the lean spirit to. Those folks got a lean spirit and they didn't enter into the rest. They fell in unbelief. Question. Can Christian fall in unbelief? What do you mean? Can the people of God not believe the word of God and go their own way? Is it possible to do that? And can they be deluded and think that they're right? I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with me. Can they think that I'm not going to suffer? There's no consequence to my action. I think you know where I'm going with it. So God, we use this verse a lot for the unsaved. But reality, the verse here talks about the word of God is given to us. It's powerful. So that we can enjoy that rest. We can live in the land of milk and honey, and we can have a song in our heart, and we can rejoice as we walk with the Lord. And it's going to be done by the Word of God. All right, lastly, I'll give you one more. All right, let's look in Judges chapter 2. Verse 16, we'll conclude over here. Judges chapter 2, verse 16. All right. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. Wow. That is awesome. You know, the people turned their back. They refused to obey God. God said, I've given you my... Why have you not listened to what I'm telling you in verse 2? You see, in Judges, why have you not obeyed my voice? But yet still God, in verse 16, God raised up judges. Right? A judge is to lead the people into battle to gain back the land so they can have rest. And a judge, if you study what a judge does, he's exactly the same as far as I've been studying through that church, through the book of Judges. And it's the same what a pastor does. A pastor comes along and the people don't have to follow the judge, but if they want to, they can. And then he leads them into battle that they may gain the land back. And they may live in the land of milk and honey and have rest and enjoy the land. And they don't get ripped off. All right? Look in verse 17, or in verse 16, which delivered them out of the hands of their spoilers. That was why God gave them judges, that those that would come and rob them and steal from them, that wouldn't happen. In verse 17, it says, that, and yet they would not hearken unto the judges. The Lord will raise up pastors in our time, that those that they will come and preach to you the word of God and tell you what the Bible says, that you may have victory in your life, and that victory in your life, you may enjoy your life and rejoice. Bring you to a place of great rejoicing. It comes through obedience and surrendering to the word of God and to focus on what he says. This is why God's given you a man here, Pastor Charlie, so he can point to the book and say, hey, this is what it says. This is how you're going to get victory. You know, and it's a wonderful thing. And My biggest issue when I'm building this dollhouse is I ignore everything else. I start looking around and start blaming the manufacturer. I start blaming the people that bought the actual toy, and I start blaming the manual. I'm thinking it's so much Japanese and Asian stuff, and I start getting frustrated with the book. But you know, reality is, if I go from point A, and from point A I look at 1, 2, 3, then I go to point B, and I go to the next 3 points, then I get point A, and I get point B, and I put point A and point B together. When I finish the 2 section, the house goes up. There's no frustration. Everyone's happy. Are you happy? Everything's going well. But we get frustrated and we think, see, spiritual anorexia will cause us to a place where we feel like it's just not going the way I want it to go. Do you suffer with this disorder? You might be here today and you don't quite understand what I'm going on about. Maybe you haven't come to a place where you've trusted Christ, that Christ has paid it all for you, and you can enter into that rest and enjoy your life in knowing that Christ has paid for all your sin. When I was 21, I trusted Christ. I grew up as a Catholic young man, and I had a sports car, I had a pretty young girlfriend, I had a great job. According to the worldly aspect, I was doing quite well, to my own mind anyway, until my friend challenged me and said, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" I said, "Everybody knows Jesus." But I didn't know Jesus. I knew of him, but not in here. Until, a long story short, I called on Christ. I said, "Hey Lord, you are holy and I'm not. I've got a disease called sin." And Christ came in and changed my life. So maybe you're there. You need to call on Christ and he paid it all. You don't need to work anymore, in a sense. You can just trust Christ. Or maybe you're doing well and you're enjoying the Word of God, you're walking with the Lord and you're doing well, keep on doing what's right. Keep on coming to church, keep on reading your Bible, keep on praying with boldness. See, there's a flow on effect. It's very simple, but there's a flow on effect when we follow the Word of God and we love the Lord, and there's a boldness in our prayer. But there's also a flow on effect when we're not getting in the Word of God. There's a weakness in our prayer and a weakness in our walk. And it will lead to a spiritual suicide. So that's a bit heavy. Don't want to be too heavy. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we do rejoice in who you are. Lord, we do thank you for your people. Thank you for everyone here. We do seek your blessing on each one. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us to keep on keeping on, Lord. We pray for anyone here that may not be saved, Lord, that you would show them their need for Christ, and that they can simply by faith call upon Christ, Lord, and repent of their dead works and of their sins, and accept the full payment of Christ upon the cross, that they don't need to die, and we can have a home in heaven paid on him. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you very much.